We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
On 3 hours of sleep, I think. I don't know. It's been a crazy few days for me. I just want to get it out there to the callers. Birth of my first born was actually Wednesday. You know he's my son because he planned it perfectly between the two Suns games. So finally get home. First thing I do is I get to watch this game, and it's, you know, nice way for it to start.
Well, congratulations, brother. You sound like you've been going through it in a great way. So congrats, man. And you know what he did? What he did is he saved you. He said, you know what? I'm going to come into this world and I'm going to give you another gift. It's going to be the Warriors beating the shit out of the Suns to snap their 18-game win streak or whatever the hell that they had going into this game. So just total domination in the second half. I mean, not the best performance of the season. Or was it the best performance of the season? I don't know. Either way, this was fantastic.
Yeah, man. It was an all-around fun game. I kind of suspected the Warriors would bounce back pretty strong after Tuesday's just ugly second half, no other way to put it, really. And just so many good things. You know what my favorite part of it was, though? The Suns, it felt like the 2017 or 18 Rockets with like the foul baiting on the Suns side. What was the final foul differential? They got, I think, 20 more free throws, something in that range. And doesn't matter. Still lost by 20.
Let's start there. There's a big part of the story today. I thought we had gotten this out of the game this year, this season. I thought part of what the season was about was kind of not allowing the type of fraudulent basketball that we've watched for the last few seasons. And tonight it was, it's a lot of it's Chris Paul. You know what I mean? Like when Chris Paul is the tip of the spear, when he's the head of the snake, you know, the team is going to be who he is, right? Like you watch Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder doesn't do any of this stuff if Chris Paul isn't the leader. And then you're watching this. I think Suns fans kind of get confused sometimes because they don't get why people don't watch them or talk about them. It's because they're not fun to watch. They're a great team, Sam, right? They're a great team. Really, really good. But damn, they're hard to watch. And we saw that.
Get healthy soon, Devin Booker. I didn't realize how much more he made the Suns until I watched him without him. They're shorthanded, but Warriors could say the same thing. You know, a certain Klay Thompson hasn't played at all this season. So I think anyone who watched both these games would say they're the two best teams in the West right now. And if things keep going this way, we're looking at a rematch come playoff time between these two teams. And that'll be really fun. Hey, we might even get to see them both full strength on Christmas in 3 weeks. I think Booker will be back. Pretty good chance Klay will be in lineup, although, you know, we kind of assume he won't be playing full minutes. But either way, man, this is looking like we're going to a spring showdown between these two teams. And yeah, I'm into it.
Yeah, this is a Western Conference final. It just unless the Lakers make a big trade or Jamal Murray, Michael Porter come back, or Kawhi Leonard comes back healthy, this is the matchup. And honestly, even if those guys were healthy, these two teams are so good that it could very well still be the matchup. And I just, like you said, I'm so pumped up. I want to see. I don't know if the Warriors play the Suns again after Christmas. I got to take a look at the schedule, but I hope they do, because if you can get Clay, you know, semi in shape, I mean, his agent said today that he could play 25 minutes if he wants, but like if he can get in shape if they have a matchup later this season, I need to see it, man. It's the Suns defense is incredible. But the next big thing I want to talk about, Sam, is Draymond. You had a great tweet that I just passed out of the timeline. And you said, it's just unfair to have Draymond play the same team twice in a row. Because of the adjustments that he can make. And today was, dude, that was incredible what he did. That was performance art.
Yeah, I feel like everyone walked away from Tuesday night's game going like, man, Steph, 4 for 21. Well, that's not happening again. He's going to have the bounce back game. And he did. I thought 8 of 20 for 23 doesn't really do justice for it. Like, Steph had a great first half and kind of just played a team game in the second half. It wasn't, you know, it was for Steph, that was like a B performance, but like in general, yep, he did what he needed to win. But you could have said the same thing for Draymond. I thought Ayton had a good amount of success against the Warriors in the first game. Draymond called it out in the post game press conference, said like, hey, yeah, he kind of got what he wanted. We got to make some adjustments. We got to do our work early. And that's what they did. I thought Looney actually played pretty good defense on him early. I thought Draymond played phenomenal defense on him. They denied him the ball. They had him catching the ball in uncomfortable positions. He got 23 points, but honestly, most of it was working one-on-one against Draymond. 7 for 16 for 23 points. I think Warriors take that every day of the week. If the Suns plan of attack versus the Warriors is to have Ayton go one-on-one from the mid-post, it's a win for the Warriors.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we called this after the post in our last podcast, our last green room. Yeah, he made an impact, but it's not something that bothers you. And it's especially not something that bothers you in a postseason series. Now, I do think part of it is, hey, D-Book's out, right? So they just don't have anywhere else to go. They have no choice. They need to play through Ayton, because what is it going to be? Cam Johnson? It's going to be more Jay Crowder. Chris Paul, look, he has some flashes of effectiveness, but Sam, like, you look at him out there and Chris Paul looks old. Like, he's that's what happens when you're 37 years old or whatever he is, right? Like, he just can't do it all game. So that's part of it.
He wants to be a passer and almost a role player on offense. He doesn't want to have to be the guy that gets 25 points at this stage.
If Steph's that old, it's going to be hard for him to do the same thing too. So yeah, like you said, hopefully Debo comes back healthy. But Draymond, just special stuff. How many times tonight did we see him after a screen go up against the guy, fake contest, and then drive back to Ayton to get a steal or to break up a play, because he knows that it's an alley-oop every time. He knows that lob is coming. We saw him do it 3-4 times tonight. Ayton's not moving him in the post, right? Whenever they try to go one-on-one. I have never seen anyone outside of maybe Zebo, right, move Draymond in the post. Maybe LeBron a few times, right, during those finals matchups. Like, outside of that, nobody moves him in the post. So anytime you see someone try to post Draymond up, it's beautiful. We love that. So I don't know. And he made a three. He made a mid-range shot. I mean, just a special game all around from Draymond tonight. He, after what he played like in the first game, this is a good – this is why he's the best.
Absolutely. Also want to shout out Juan Toscano-Anderson and GP2. 17 points for GTA, 19 for Gary Payton II. I don't really think that does justice for the way they played. Juan had his worst game of the season Tuesday. Looked indecisive, was just as bad as Draymond and Steph with the turnovers. And I thought he bounced back, set the tone with that dunk early in the game, if anything. Yep. I thought that, like, when he threw that one down, was on JaVale. Yep. That's where I was like, yeah, they're not losing tonight, because you felt it, the crowd, you saw everyone going. It was just kind of like, yeah, they're trying to send a message after Tuesday night's game. Only one turnover for him. So it's just kind of, he played way more decisive. I thought the first game, it was like, he was being timid. And this game, it was like, nah, dude, I'm just going to play my game. Going to be aggressive, yes. Want 20, 110 miles per hour all the time. And then, we'll see what happens. Usually when he plays that hard, good things happen.
Yeah, right. Like, and we talked about that too. Like, Juan's not Andre Iguodala. Like, that's not who he should try to be. Like, in terms of the mindset, the mentality, that's not who he is. He's Draymond. Like, he needs to be playing at 150%. He's not the guy that's calming stuff down. He's not the caretaker. He's not the dad. Not that, like, they're not that Andre type of style. It's, I'm going to go dunk on someone. If I get an open three, I'm freaking shooting it. Or on defense, I'm hacking someone if someone's getting to the rim. Somebody's getting fouled hard. Or I'm picking up full court, right? Like, similar to GP2. GP2 is a little more quiet. But, like, JTA, if he's not playing that style, he shouldn't be out there playing. And tonight, like, part of it is he's playing at home, right? And role players are always going to be a lot better at home. And he made a three tonight. And then if you want to talk about GP2, who I think when you put those two guys out on the court, and they're making an impact, usually the game's over. Because they're just making an impact that just – it turns an 8-point lead to a 20-point lead. It seems like they've done it 3-4 times this season, right? Like, when those two guys on the court, they make defensive plays that are – like, they make pick-six defensive plays, right? Yeah. And you watch, like, Andre, he's kind of a pick-six type, but he's more of like, hey, I'm always going to make the right play. Like, Looney, like, they're not like, super – volatile variance defensive players like that. They're more like, I'm always going to be in the right place. I'm always going to make the right play. But with GP2 and JTA, they can turn a steal into a dunk like in a second.
Yeah. And GP2 looks like a premier, like shutdown NFL cornerback where it's just like, don't even bring it around me. And then he just picks it to the house. Like he's funny because like before the season, everyone's like, well, he can't shoot. He can't do this. And he had shots tonight, but like people are going to give him open shots until he hits them consistently. But man, he just changes the energy of the game every time. Like
every time
you have to play him. The numbers don't even matter. It's just like when he's in there, the energy changes and it's a big dunk. It's a steal. It's all those things. He's just, I don't know how Steve Kerr can keep him out of the rotation. He has it, to be honest. He's like, yeah. The season started with Damian Lee being ahead of him, which made total sense. Damian Lee, good player, knows how to play in the system, shooter. But GP in some ways is catapulting him where you're just like, yeah, I don't care if it's too many defensive players. Like that guy just makes an impact and I'm out there.
Yeah, GP2 played well in the first game too, right? Like that, Chris Chioza tonight, bless his soul. He's played well and he didn't play badly on Tuesday, but he was out there in street clothes tonight. And it's funny because Steve knew that he shouldn't play Tuesday, but just classic Steve. You know what I mean? Just give him some run out there. And tonight it's back to GP2 and he shouldn't be sitting down. And then when he hits that three, I mean, he got into rhythm tonight. He's missed his last 8 or 9, I believe. But yeah. His three doesn't look bad. JTA's three does kind of look a little like, doesn't look great, a little weird. But GP2's shot looks nice. So, here's hoping that he can kind of keep that up. Another guy we want to chat about really quickly is Andrew Wiggins. He had 19, a little bit of a quiet 19, but he looked healthy. Yeah. And he was aggressive. Not many bad shots tonight and good defensively. He started off on CP3. So all things good for Wiggins, I think.
Yeah, I think we can safely chop up Tuesday's game to back spasms because he looked like the Wiggins we've seen the last 3 weeks, just energetic and not limited physically, got to his spots, hit open shots. You know, the thing I've been noticing about Wiggins is like if his feet are set, I almost feel like it's automatic.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Wow. Like he had a pretty one off the bounce in the mid range today, but like right. In general, you know, we want to limit those with him. But like catching it in the corner, feet set, it's in. I feel good about that shot every time, you know?
Yeah.
And that's credit to Wiggs because he's fitting in perfectly exactly to what this team wants him to do. He's not trying to create too much. He's just trying to get to spots, finish plays, and play defense. Just huge turnaround from what people thought of him when he came from Minnesota.
Yeah. I mean, all things considered, this game tonight was kind of a mirror image of all the games that the Warriors have been winning this season. The Suns, tougher team, but team that was the end of a back-to-back. Let's kind of be clear. End of a back, second end of a back-to-back. Mikal Bridges dislocated his finger.
Came back in.
D-Book was out. And so they were kind of running on fumes a little bit. But I think this is a Warriors team. It kind of didn't matter if they were fully healthy or not tonight. It's just one of those defensive efforts that the only reason why the Suns didn't lose by 40 is because they just got 20 more free throws, right? Like the Warriors outplayed them from minute one all night. So it was one of those games where, yeah, that's I need this series in the Western Conference Finals, Sam. I need it. I need it.
Absolutely. I'm gonna leave you with the callers now. That's my main takeaway now. Great, great bounce back game for the Warriors against the Suns. Can't wait to see these guys in the spring.
All right, brother. I'll see you soon. Take care. Get some sleep or not. Congratulations, man.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get to some... I think I could go down the line here. Let's get to everyone. Hey, Ryan, what's up, brother?
Nothing much. CP3 and the Suns play the most Republican basketball, so it's very fitting that they play in Arizona, first off. Secondly, Monty Williams has essentially shown us his playoff defense over these last two games. I don't think they can play much better defense, so us beating this defense without our counters is very encouraging. And then also, Jay Crowder is legitimately a scrub. Could we talk about that Bush League push in Clay Thompson?
Yeah.
Sorry, I was thinking about Clay Thompson because
JTA. Yeah.
But JTA. Those are fighting words, what he did. That was ridiculous. And then he has the nerve to go complain afterwards. Yeah. So overall, just we got a B- Steph game and we blew them out by 30. If we got a C- in Phoenix, we probably beat them by 10. So just very encouraging.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Thanks for calling in, Ryan. A couple of things. The Jay Crowder stuff was ridiculous. I mean, he shoved JTA from behind when he had no chance to make any type of play. JaVale kind of did the same thing in the beginning of the game too. And then he had the nerve to kind of say ball don't lie when JTA misses a free throw. Just ridiculous behavior. Just something you don't need as part of the game at all. He should have gotten another flagrant. I don't know what it was. You don't need that in the game. Now, in terms of Phoenix's defense, they are good. You know why they're good too? They're good because they understand. They're like any playoff defense that scouted the Warriors a million times. They know exactly what the Warriors want to run, and they're not going to allow the off-ball stuff to happen. And what I want to see more is counters in terms of if they're not going to let Clay get Clay
Wow, he is really close to coming back. If they're not going to let Steph get the off-ball action, plant some guy at the middle and have Steph cut out the other one for a flare screen. So we'll see. Doesn't seem like Steve is too worried about it. He's not doing any playoff stuff yet. So, all right, next man up or woman. Hey, John.
Hey, yo. I told all you we were going to smoke these fools. I mean, like, they let us hang in that game when Steph had an F-minus game. And we hung right in there with them. This team isn't that great. And now, they might be some of the best competition in the West, but they're flawed, just like the Warriors are flawed, which is why we don't have to worry that much about them. It will be a good series, whether it's in the West Finals, if it's in the semis. It's going to be a good one. The rest will kind of make it seem like it's even. But I'm not worried about these guys. And this is what we saw, right? We saw them trying to grift their way into getting back in this game, and it ain't happening. And we ain't going to let it happen. And when we're at home, our role guys are going to play better. Can our role guys play better on the road? I don't know. Hopefully they do. And if not, if we get a good game from Steph, it won't even freaking matter. And we'll smack them right out of the playoffs, and we'll have a chance to march our way through and hopefully get to the finals. And that's what I'm hoping for. I think everyone should be stoked about this game. It was great to see GP2 just dunking over fools, JTA posterizing someone. It was just awesome. If Crowder wants to cry over stuff, so what? If it pisses the Warriors off, even better, because a pissed off Steph is a great Steph.
Yeah, I hear you. I appreciate you, McWalter. Now, one thing I do want to point out is Andre Iguodala is not playing either, right? So part of it, I think, D-Book didn't play out there today. What his offense does, it allows the Suns to just layer on after that. I mean, part of what the first option for the Suns was tonight was either a pick and roll with Paul and Ayton or an Ayton post up. Those aren't first option offenses for a good team, especially one that wants to make the finals. So D-Book's going to help, and the Warriors are going to have Wiggins to put on him. But I think Andre Iguodala is someone that's going to need to. He's going to be a huge factor in a playoff series. What's up, Eric?
Hey, sorry. I don't know when it kicked over and cut me out. It's your boy GSW Reddit. We were down in Santa Cruz today.
Yeah, hey, appreciate you jumping on. Well, Kaminga, I just saw at 27 today. Happened out there?
Yeah, 27 for him, 21 for Moody. Kuminga looks good, man. I think he plays his best basketball when he's coming downhill. I mean, he's so strong. Like, I mean, they're really hurting size-wise. Like, they've got a couple guys that are out. Moody Bay's out, and Jordan Bell's out. So he's playing a lot of center. But, I mean, when he gets rolling down through contact, the dude is, like, he's stacked for sure.
You got a scouting report for us of him and kind of his game and what he looked like?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, he's big-bodied for sure, and he's so much more athletic than everyone else on the court, and it's just – super obvious. So I think that his biggest pitfall is these careless turnovers.
Yeah.
It's like he's making the pass quicker than the rest of the team is reacting. He's got to slow that down a little bit. I know there's been some concerns about his hands catching the ball. That was not an issue tonight at all. I mean, this is a game in which the Santa Cruz Warriors were super undermanned and were playing from behind. But they won the fourth quarter pretty like resoundingly. And it was off the back of like him with back-to-back dunks. We tweeted one out, a little reel. It was pretty fire.
Saw that.
Yeah.
How'd the shot look? I saw he made a couple threes today, too.
Good. I think he shot 4 for 5.
I know. I'm a little shocked.
I got to say, when he pulled up the first time, I kind of groaned. Like even, and then it went in. I'm like, I'm glad it went in. But I was like, that's not where I see his game. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's where he sees his game because he was getting looks. He was knocking him down, so
huge.
It was huge. Good. I haven't had a chance to check. I'm going to watch the replay of Golden State's game tonight. I didn't see it, but
oh man,
some of what you guys are saying, it sounded like a good one.
I know, and I know you went to check out Klay Thompson practice the other day as well too. But the scrimmage wasn't open to public, was it? So you were able to watch. Yeah. How did he look?
Yeah. So you could kind of get some peeks. Like they put up big like black fabric in front of the front doors, but you could kind of see in, and he looked like he was running full speed. When they let media in, he was doing shoot around and everything that we heard from the guys down there. And it didn't seem like lip service, but they were pretty, pretty clear. Like, no, he's moving really quick. So I actually had a sit down with an orthopedic surgeon mm-hmm. talking about coming back from injury like that. And the big risk with someone like Clay is, like, structurally his Achilles should be good to go. Like, uh-huh. it's not weak. It's not at risk of re-rupturing because of how it was connected. The big issue is going to be his conditioning overall, because when you see guys in the NBA playing at that full contact, they're really tempted to kind of to like cheat with their body mechanics to achieve the things that they're used yeah. to achieving. And if the conditioning's not there, they will put themselves in compromising situations right. where all the surrounding structures are compensating for the stuff they're used to doing. So it's probably going to be really frustrating to Clay's psyche, because they will always pull him out before he feels like he's at his limit. And he's right. Like, he could go more, and they just won't let him. They won't be able to let him.
yeah, I think that's one of the huge things for Clay coming back is, if there's one person that's going to be not scared of re-injury, of just kind of playing through it, it does feel like it's Clay Thompson. Sure. And the report coming out today to say his agent saying that he could play 25 minutes today. I don't know how much to read into that, but it is kind of it is everything seems optimistic, right? Like it seems pretty reasonable.
Yeah. 25 minutes, I think, is pretty reasonable. A quick James Wiseman update, though, and I know people want to talk about the game tonight. So when looking at his meniscus repair, I mean, I don't know specifically like the ins and outs of his repair, but when you look at the recovery window for these things, it's usually a 7 to 9 months. And everyone's kind of somewhere in between there. And he's at about 7.5 months right now. So I think we're on track with his recovery as far as him coming back. The risk is that, like, when you have an injury like that, when they're evaluating the recovery, you can't see that on imaging. Like, the tissues that have been damaged will always look altered in imaging, probably for the rest of his life. So it's not like you can take an X-ray of it or an MRI of it and be like, oh, yeah, now it's healed. It's solely based on how he feels as he's performing. And if he is performing and then he has soreness and swelling, that's a little bit of a setback. So it's pretty beneficial to kind of slow play the ramp back up process. So I think, unfortunately for him, we've all kind of tied Clay and Wiseman yeah. together as far as who's coming back first, why is he back, what's wrong with him. And it's two different injuries on two very different timelines. So I actually think if Wiseman was going 5-on-5 in scrimmage now, I actually think that would probably be fairly aggressive as far as bringing him back in. So I think we just got to be patient.
As long as he comes back healthy, you know what I mean? That's all that matters for a guy that's 20 years old. You know what I mean? So
I met him briefly outside of the Santa Cruz where I stayed. And like, the dude is he's big, bro. Like,
he might be the biggest dude, if like top 2 percentile largest dudes in the NBA.
Yeah. And like, and the deepness of his voice is correlated with his height. Like, the dude is freaking big.
Great rapper too. Oh man. Well, Eric Jett, GSW Reddit. Yeah. I appreciate you calling in, man. We need to hear from you more often. And go enjoy the game. Because this is a good one. You're gonna love it, man. We appreciate the work you do, brother.
Thanks, man. There's a couple of us on that account too. So my boy Perks of these walls, he's the stats guy. He's the brains behind the operation.
I love it. I love it.
Thanks, my guy.
Drive safe, man. Take care.
All right, bye.
GSW Reddit. All right. I remember under Sam and I doing an AMA with them. We probably should do that. It was in the middle of COVID. We were bored. Good times. Bernardo.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, brother?
So my biggest takeaway out of the two Phoenix games is the defense. The defense holds up pretty well. Even in the beginning of the first game, when Booker was going, he was scoring, but the Phoenix offense didn't look that much better. And for me, like, remembering the playoff series during the dynasties, sure, people gave the Warriors trouble defensively, and I think the team that gave the Warriors most trouble defensively was OKC in that series. But you need to score against them. You need to score. You need to be able to score. And like, Houston was able to score for a while in 2018. The Cavs were able to score. Even in 17, they were able to score against them. And I don't know if this team, if this Phoenix team can score against the Warriors in the playoffs. Like, I don't know. Because in those two games, they had trouble scoring. Basically, the best option
throughout. Now here's the thing. They are missing their best score.
Yeah, but even in the beginning of the first game, they didn't look good, particularly good against the Warriors. Like, and the thing is, Booker is their best scorer, but he's an individual scorer like Kyrie or KD. He doesn't change the offense structurally. He gives them another punch. But my point is, their offense doesn't work against the Warriors. Their off-ball stuff doesn't work. The screens that they use in the weak side when CP3 is running a pick and roll, they don't work against the Warriors. So, sure they miss Booker, but Booker is a... Just like he was against Milwaukee. Like, right. he was scoring 40 a game. And it didn't matter because their offense was stagnant and it didn't work. And it's almost like the Warriors when Steph can't wreak havoc off the ball. But the difference is Steph is one of the 10 best players of all time. And Klay is one of the 2 best shooters or 5 best shooters of all time. And I'm sorry, like Booker is not that. And Paul is not the ISO player that he was in Houston, basically.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. It's a great point. It's a great point, and thanks for calling in, Bernardo. And a couple points though. He's right. D-Book is the type of player. He's not going to change the way your offensive scheme is going to be played. But here's the thing: those are the guys that are going to be most effective in the playoffs. You mentioned Kyrie Irving. He's the reason where, yeah, you know what he's going to do, and they're going to go isolation. But guess what? He's going to get the bucket anyway. It's exactly who D-Book is. Those are the type of players that can get you big baskets. That's one of the reasons why, hey, like the Warriors in 2016-17, they could have ran that team back and they probably make it to the NBA Finals and they could have won that thing. But when they picked up KD, one of the biggest things, I mean, obviously he's amazing, but one of the big things was KD could just get a bucket anywhere. Going to the hole, mid-range, three-pointer, fadeaway, doesn't matter. He can get all of it. And that's what D-Book can do. I agree, though. I do think the offense that the Suns run, it's not amazing. It's something that I do think a locked-in Warriors defense, especially with Draymond, Iguodala, JTA, GP2, all these guys, like they should be able to slow it down. But in a playoff series, in a tight game, going up against D-Book, it's always going to be a problem. All right, we got a couple callers left. If you guys still want to call in, go ahead. If not, I'm going to end it after these next two. All right, Zach. What's up, brother?
Hey.
How's it going, man?
I just want to start by saying I hate Chris Paul so much.
That's what I like to hear.
And I was very disappointed in Fitz tonight. Because what's the point of having Fitz if he's going to say it's well officiated while you're getting a shitty whistle?
Yep.
Where was he?
It was disappointing. I felt like Fitz was going to come in at the end of the game and say, like, after all this, after the Warriors getting outshot from the free throw line 35-5, they still win by, you know what I mean? Like, I felt like he was going to say something like that, and he just, I don't know what was going on. Like, did he not take the right meds this morning? I don't know what
was
happening.
Hungover?
Yeah. Maybe he's reading Twitter. He knows that people are not happy with his stuff, so he's changing it. I don't know. Joe Lacob's not telling him the right stuff. Time? Yeah. Oh, man. You got anything else for us?
No, that's it. I'll get off. Just a great day all around. Kuminga going off in the G League.
Oh, man. Good I appreciate touch. You, brother. Thank you, Zach, for calling it. Yeah, the Fitz stuff is – come on, Fitz. Let's do better. We need the Homer fan, Joe Lacob Muppet Fitz moving forward. Hey, Kissa. How's it going?
Hey, such a great game. One thing, I just want the Suns fan to stop saying we didn't have D-Book because we didn't have Klay Thompson either. You know, to me, that cancels it out and it's the same thing. But also, I think tonight we just did like a really good job defending Chris Paul and pushing him towards his left-hand side because I think he struggles with that side where like if you move him to his right, he's going to make every single mid-range you give him, basically. And I think my biggest takeaway from tonight was just the role players playing really well, like JTA and Nemanja Bjelica, because last game they were pretty terrible. And this game was just a big step. And then looking forward, I think it's fair to say that whoever have a home court advantage will probably win the series just because
ooh, you think
when
so,
you
huh?
look Yeah, when you look at the game structure compared to last game, Phoenix were better because the role players played a whole lot better. Bridges was amazing. Tonight, I think he was okay. I don't think he was that great. I know his finger was injured, but he was okay. And then Cam Johnson, Campaign, he couldn't hit a shot until like the fourth quarter.
Right.
So I think whoever has the home court advantage will have the best chances of winning that series. So yeah. And also I just want to say one last thing.
Yeah.
I just want to see a game where Curry and Poole have a nice night, because I feel like they're a seesaw. But one's up, the other's down. Just imagine tonight if Poole had a nice night, like this would have been a blowout from the start.
Yeah.
When he struggles. So I just want to see that one day.
All right. Okay. I hear you. Nikki, so thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. So a couple of great points there. Also, pronounce Nemanja Bjelica perfectly, which nobody does. I don't think even Fitz does it. So maybe she should be the announcer. I think with the home team, the home crowd. It sounded like Chase was out tonight. I know a friend of the show, Jordan Ramirez, who's at every game, said the crowd was incredible, and it has been that way all season. So, yeah, I think home court advantage is going to matter. I mean, one thing we got to always remember is role players play better at home, right? And the Warriors have a lot of role players. The Suns have a lot of role players. There's not really any super teams out here besides the Lakers, but, you know, they're just terrible. But there's not many of these super teams, and a lot of these guys have role players, especially the Warriors. So they're always going to play better at home. And I think that that's going to be important, especially in a playoff series, especially compared to what you watched tonight. So let's keep going here. We got Jake.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right. I mean, great win tonight. Great team playing. Love to see the ball bouncing around. The only negative I can think of, and something I've been thinking about for a while, is just when Draymond's not on the floor, a good big like Ayton can kind of kill us a little bit. And there were a couple of times when Porter was matched up on Nimbelli too, where it just it felt a little shaky to me. And I'm just wondering if there is a big defensive center out there who at least doesn't have to have a shot, but can just stop. The ball doesn't stop with him. If that's something that might be available on the buyout market this year.
Oh, hey, if you listen to Fitz, there is one guy. Don't forget about him. Big Jimmy.
I personally don't think Wiseman can hold up to that. That's not what I hope for. Not on Ayton or Jokic. That's what I'm worried about.
Not at this age, right? And I think that's I agree with you. I'm 100% in agreement with you. I think the Warriors needed it's not that they need him to close the game or to play long stretches, right? I'm with you. In terms of this particular matchup, Looney's not going to hold up, and we know that now. And I think that's something, and Jake, thanks for calling in. I think that's something that it might not kill them, right? They had Zaza Pachulia previously to kind of soak up those minutes. It might not kill them, but I do think that it's not going to be pretty the first 6 minutes of every half. And in a playoff series, I think maybe when it gets to a game four, or game five, when it truly matters, I think they're just going to run Draymond 35 minutes at the center position if it comes down to it. Oh, see whether he can last that long, right? But in terms of the buyout market, you just kind of have to see. I think the kisses for one point that I forgot to make previously is her point on Steph and Jordan Poole playing well together. It feels like those guys are playing very similar styles at this point. I think Jordan Poole has kind of really stolen the way that Steph plays in a good way. And I think that it's always hard to get both guys to play the ball. Jordan Poole's not really an off-ball type of player. Jordan Poole is more of an on-ball pick and roll, and he can play off-ball. He can shoot threes off-ball, but he's best when he's in rhythm and has the ball in his hands. He's not Klay Thompson. And that's why I think with Klay coming back, it's actually going to make life a little bit easier for Jordan Poole. He can just play off the bench and just play with a James Wiseman, not a James Wiseman, just play with the bench and just handle the ball. Maybe actually with James Wiseman. But as long as he has the ball in his hands, he's always going to be a little bit better. We saw that against Detroit. All right. Ooh, yes. Schick, what's up, brother?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. What's going on?
Yeah, I was actually just sharing, listening to you in the background. So
good to know that my voice is emanating in someone's showers. That's good to know.
Now you know. Light years is everywhere.
What you got for us?
Yeah, anyways, I mean, it's a good transition from the pick and roll talk with Poole. I think as clearly his role as kind of a creator slash hybrid combo guard, where he's like still a threat to shoot and create his own shot. But I think that'll work pair really nicely with Wiseman.
Yeah, I think that's the next step. In it's hard. It's hard when you're a young guy. It's hard when you're a young guy and you have to learn how to play off ball, unless you're already an off ball player, right? Like JJ Redick coming into the league, Duncan Robinson coming, like those guys are used to playing off ball. Steph Curry, and he's one of a kind where he's always been playing off ball, but he's also got a handle to go along with it. But someone like Jordan Poole, a lot of these guys, they want the ball in their hands, especially your guard. You want to go for 30. You want to get shots up. If you're going to miss, you want to be able to have an opportunity to play through it. But I also think that Jordan Poole is learning a lot quicker than we give him credit for. He's made some nice passes. He doesn't take the same crazy shots that he used to. And I think the trajectory looks great for him. Tonight he had a decent game, right? He's not always going to have great games. He's 22 years old, especially in an environment this pressurized, right? National TV against a second best team in the NBA. So he's got a great future in front of him. And the Warriors are 19-3 going into tomorrow against the San Antonio Spurs. Light Years podcast, we will be back either tomorrow night or going into Monday, as we always do. So I appreciate everyone jumping on. We'll chat soon.